Chapter 11 0210 hours, February 20th, 2551, military calendar. Aboard UNSC Hopeful, interstellar space, sector K009. Kurt sat alone in the atrium, viewing the candidate's progress on his tablet. He'd spent the last 24 hours awake by their sides, and then caught 4 hours of sleep. He'd go back to them shortly when they awoke, to congratulate the candidates. Correction. Congratulate the Spartans. Every last one of them had made it. Kurt wished he could feel relief, but there were too many unknowns. Lieutenant Ambrose. A female voice sounded over shipcom. Report to the bridge immediately. He got up and marched to the elevator. The doors closed and the elevator rushed through sections of normal and zero gravity. Kurt held fast to the railing. Kurt and his Project Chrysanthemum team were supposed to be left alone. Orders directly from Fleetcom Brass. So why the summons to the bridge? The doors opened. A lieutenant commander stood with arms akimbo waiting for him. A woman barely a meter and a quarter with a gray widow's peak.
Ma'am,
Kurt saluted.
Lieutenant Ambrose reporting as ordered. Permission to enter the bridge.
Granted, she said. Come with me.
She skirted the edge of the large, low-lit room. Not only were its 36 officers monitoring navigation, weapon, communication, and drive systems, there were teams controlling structural stress compensators, tram traffic, water, power load distributions, and eco-reclamation subsystems. The Hopeful was more city space station than ship of the line. The lieutenant commander pressed her palm to the biometric by a side door. It parted, and they both entered. The room beyond was lined with shelves of gilt antique books. Old globes of Earth and a dozen other worlds had been tastefully set about a koa wood desk that gleamed like gold under the light of a single brass lamp. An old man sat in the shadows.
That will be all, Lieutenant Commander, the man said.
He stood, and Kurt saw 3 stars flash on his collar. Kurt reflexively saluted.
Sir!
The lieutenant commander left, the door closing and locking behind her. The vice admiral walked around Kurt once. Vice Admiral Isianris Jerome was a living legend. He'd taken the Hopeful, a ship with virtually no weapons or armor, into battle 3 times to save the crews of critically wounded ships. He'd saved tens of thousands of lives and almost been court-martialed for it, too. War needs its heroes, though. The then admiral had lost and regained stars from his collar, but he had also received the UNSC's highest wartime decoration, the Colonial Cross, 2.
I'm not sure who you are,
the vice admiral said, and his bushy white brows bunched together.
Someone a lot more important than Lieutenant Ambrose, or whatever your name really is.
Kurt knew better than to say anything unless asked a direct question. He stood at attention. The code word classification of the Spartan 3 project prevented him from divulging anything, even to a vice admiral, without clearance. He walked back to his desk, reached into a drawer, and retrieved a black sphere the size of a grapefruit.
Do you know what this is, Lieutenant?
No, sir, Kurt said.
Slipspace comm probe, he said. A stationary Shaw Fujikawa driver launches one of these black bullets into slipstream space on an ultra-precise trajectory. It rips through the laws of known human physics and drops back into normal space at some very distant coordinates, like your own personal carrier pigeon. Do you understand?
Yes, sir, Kurt said. Like a slipspace science probe. I've seen them launched from Station Archimedes. Or the new ODST drop pod that can be fired from a ship still in slipspace.
Nothing like that at all, Lieutenant. Those are just dropped into and then out of slipstream space. More like a turd swirling around in an old-fashioned gravity toilet than precision engineering.
He patted the black sphere.
This beauty actually navigates through slipspace. Traverses as far and as fast as any UNSC ship. Damn near magical, if you appreciate the mathematics. You understand now?
Kurt wasn't sure what the Admiral was fishing for. He'd been asked a direct question, however, so he answered.
If what you have said is accurate, sir, it would revolutionize long-distance communications. Every ship would be fitted with such a device.
Except for what it costs to build an ultra-precise Shaw Fujikawa low-mass launcher, the Vice Admiral replied. You could build a fleet of ships. And for the cost to make one of these little black balls.
He rolled the probe perilously close to the edge of his desk.
You could buy the capital city of some backwater colony. There are only two such launchers, one on Reach and one on Earth.
The Vice Admiral returned to Kurt, and his pale blue eyes stared into Kurt's.
This probe arrived 15 minutes ago, the Vice Admiral told him. 40 million kilometers from the hopeful. Entry vector matches neither Earth nor Reach as the point of origin. And it's for you.
Kurt had a dozen questions, but dared not raise any of them. He felt like he walked on a razor's edge of secrecy. The Vice Admiral snorted and moved to the door.
There's protocol for top secrecy on this, so use my office, Lieutenant. Take as much time as you need.
He palmed the door and it opened. He paused and added,
If there is any danger to my ship or my patients, I expect to be informed, son. Orders or no.
He left, and the door sheathed closed. Kurt approached the black sphere. There were no obvious controls or displays. Light shed off its surface like water beating off oil. He touched it, and it warmed. Ice appeared in snowflake patterns and crackled over the Vice Admiral's desk. Holographic snow drifted through the office and coalesced into a white cloak, chiseled features, glacier eyes, and a cane of crystalline ice. Deep winter.
My God, the AI breathed, and I thought rear admirals were long-winded. I thought old Jerome would never leave.
Deep Winter smoothed his near-skeletal hands over nothing, and a blue sheen permeated the air.
Counter-electronics package online.
How did you get here?
Kurt asked. His mind struggled to grasp the ramifications. AIs had large footprints. They needed installations and massive power sources to fuel their mines. Deep Winter couldn't be here. And how could the AI manage to alter the approach vector from Earth's or Reach's comm launchers? Deep Winter held up a hand.
Stop. I see your mind in logic lock, Lieutenant. It would perhaps help to explain.
Please, Kurt whispered.
First, Deep Winter said, we may only communicate in a limited fashion. I have imprinted a faction of my intellect into the memory matrix of this probe. The process has irreversibly destroyed a portion of the home base processing powers, so please do not waste the precious minutes we have. There is also insufficient remaining power in this probe for a prolonged debate.
Kurt nodded. This had cost the AI a high price, so he would do his best to listen.
Also, let us not waste time debating the nuances of this slipstream spacecom probe. That is classified, and you don't have clearance.
Then what are we talking about? Kurt asked.
I have found 3 anomalies to the current bio-augmentation protocols.
Deep Winter clapped his hands together, and 2 gyrating collections of steel spheres appeared.
These represent the protein complexes Miso-olanzapine and Cyclodexione-4,
Deep Winter explained,
which were secreted into the alteration regime.
Kurt leaned closer to the spinning molecules.
They are antipsychotic and bipolar integration drugs,
Deep Winter said. He clapped his hands, and a 3rd molecule appeared, twisting silver and gold blobs.
And this, the AI said, is a mutagen that alters key regions in a subject's frontal lobe.
Deep Winter faded to semi-translucency. It enhances aggression, making the animal part of the mind more accessible in times of stress. Someone so mutated has reserves of strength and endurance no normal human could call upon. Such a person could also continue to fight under the influence of wide systemic shock that would instantly kill a normal human. The mutagen, however, depresses the higher reason centers of the brain over time, the AI continued. The antipsychotic drugs and bipolar integration medicines counter this effect. As long as the Spartan 3s have these agents in their system, they compensate. Kurt understood all of this. Under extreme stress, the counteragents would metabolize quickly, and the primitive brain would take over. His Spartans would fight and be harder to kill. The effect was only reversed by the counteragents. It was dangerous. His Spartans could lose the ability to reason. It might give them the edge needed to survive, though. Deep winter continued to fade. The AI had always placed the Spartan candidates' well-being over their training or any agenda Section 3 had for them. You care for them in your own way, Kurt said. The Spartans.
Of course I do. They are just children, regardless of what has been done to them. You must halt the protocol.
Brain mutations were specifically outlawed by UNSC Med Corps in 2513. The moral argument algorithms are robust. Deep Winter shrank to a single tiny snowflake glimmer on the desk.
I am a fifth-generation smart AI, Kurt. I have reached the end of my effective operational life on Onyx. By the time you return, I will have been shut down and replaced. I have left files.
The snowflake glistened, its tips melting. Deep Winter whispered,
You must proceed cautiously. I am unsure who in ONI has masterminded this illegal procedure, but they will surely attempt to cover it up.
The snowflake melted, and with it, all holographic traces of Deep Winter vanished. The surface of the black comm sphere heated. The surface bubbled, and thin ribbons of smoke curled from within. Yes, they would cover it up. When Kurt returned to Onyx, he would inform Colonel Ackerson. And then, they would arrange to have all of Deep Winter's files purged. The mutation had been Kurt's idea. He had had to persuade the Colonel to allow it. And they'd even kept it a secret from the others in the Spartan 3 subsection cell, to preserve their plausible deniability. Kurt had seen too many of his Spartans die. He would have broken 100 regs and bioethical policies to give his people the slightest chance to survive one more battle. His only regret was not being able to do more. Deep Winter's instinct to save the Spartans was misguided. None of them could be protected that way. Warriors fought battles. They prevailed, but all inevitably faced death. Even his children candidates understood that. They did not, however, have to die so easily. Kurt turned from the comm probe and left the Admiral's office. He had to go congratulate Gamma Company and welcome them into the Brotherhood of Spartans.